And let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I had a young boy in a former church where I was everything, youth director and everything, and I had in youth this young boy who sort of lived in a world of his own. His parents explained to me soon after I met him that he had taken a hard blow to the head as a very young child, and that might have explained his behavior, seriously. He was also a Taekwondo student of mine. I was an instructor at that time, and at a regional tournament in Charlotte, North Carolina, 300 people in attendance there, and we were all at attention, standing for the opening Pledge of Allegiance, and Ryan was off to the side with a live microphone saying, testing, 1, 2, 3. And the man in charge said, who does he belong to? And I had to break out of formation and say, he's mine, he's mine. And I sometimes get the impression that Jesus has to say that about me. He's mine. Another time, just to describe the kind of person he was and what he was capable of, he, at a youth event again at Charlotte with people from all over the place there, he walked up to another young girl with nothing more than curiosity and an absolute oblivious to good manners and political correctness. He walked right up to her, he looked at her, and he said, with a quizzical look on his face, he said, are you black or white? And she sort of showed an indignant, how dare you face, and Ryan just stood his ground and he said, well, what are you? That was the kind of person Ryan was. And the reason I brought all that up is so you would get this last true story. We had a well-known evangelist come to preach, and we had a lunch afterwards. And when we had the lunch, Ryan was gazing at the evangelist's gold ring with rubies and diamonds on it. And I remember thinking to myself, don't say anything. But it was more than he could bear. And in the middle of lunch, in the middle of everybody around there, right across from the evangelist, he looked at him and he said, do you think Jesus would wear a ring like that? And nobody said anything. And he said, well, would he? Well, maybe Ryan asked too many questions, but I want you to think a little differently, off the subject here. Our faith isn't very important if it doesn't cause us to ask at least some questions about what we do every day and why we do it. Our faith should inform our behavior. And if we are following Jesus as shepherd, maybe we ought to question a lot of things, not just around us, but in our daily schedules. But more likely, many other things and many other people influence us far more than following Jesus. I remember vividly in a class at Wofford College, a professor relating the details of a psychology experiment, and it was an experiment which revealed how we follow the leaders because of peer pressure, even when we don't know we're doing it. And I couldn't find who did this, but I remember it this way. The experiment took place on a college campus, and they asked three very popular young co-eds to begin wearing red sweaters several times a week. And they were sworn to secrecy about the fact that they were part of an experiment. And these popular young women just started wearing red sweaters while the professor and his students started looking around and keeping score. Can you guess the result? Within 3 weeks, more than half the women on campus were wearing red sweaters on any given day. They had successfully illustrated, without saying a word, the power of influence and the sheep-like nature of even the smartest among us. And that's where my title comes from, Sheeple. We need a shepherd. There is something within us that makes us want to belong. We want to succeed and be around people who have succeeded or who might help us in some way. We want to be accepted and popular and befriended and cool. And when we think we see someone who can help us get those things, we follow. We see someone who looks like a leader, and sometimes without even asking where they're going, we tend to follow. History is filled with case after case of someone acting the part of a shepherd. They fit the profile we have in our head, and we're already primed to follow someone, so we tend to just get in line. They follow to get and to gain money, fame, popularity, influence, and many follow trends and trendy people, and that makes them sheeple. We are primed to follow and gather and group, and it makes sense because that is the only way primitive humans could have survived. Somewhere deep in our DNA, we echo what it says in Genesis, it is not good to be alone. We were born seeking to belong to and live with some group or another. And Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. He came in God's name and he lived out God's love and he calls us into God's flock. He led us to gather together and he leads us toward God. Now, the other forces in the world in the first century, they moved hard against Jesus. In the first century, it was the church and the state, and they fought him at every turn. They said, these people belong to us. Jesus said, follow me. I go to the Father. The religious officials said, follow us. We have the rituals, and we will tell you what you need to know about God. And the Roman state at the time said, we have the power to tax, the power to imprison, and the power to kill. You better come with us. And Jesus said, follow me. I go to the Father. Following after Jesus will cost us just as it cost Jesus to follow the Father's will. Following Jesus means we ignore the other voices when they contradict Jesus. The other voices don't like to be ignored, so it will cost. And contrary to what some false shepherds say, Jesus' way is not a roadmap to worldly success. I know I hear that on the radio and the TV sometimes from other preachers, but it's not a roadmap to worldly success. Jesus does not promise popularity or fame or fortune. Jesus promises none of these things. You have to ask yourself, why would we follow someone who says, take up your cross and follow me? Well, he also said, I am the good shepherd. There are many shepherds who are not so good. They lead in order to get. They influence to get, to take, to enrich themselves. Jesus gave all the way to the cross. He laid down his life for the sheep. We can trust him. Now, if you remember your Sunday school lessons, you'll recall that many of God's greatest leaders from the earliest days had been shepherds. Abraham, father of the Jews, was a keeper of flocks. Moses tended the flocks of his father-in-law, Jethro. And then King David was first a little shepherd boy before he met Goliath. And the 23rd Psalm again paints the idea of God as a good shepherd. So Jesus took this foundation that was already in Jewish thought of shepherding, and he took it much further. Remember, Jesus also told a story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep, but one of them went astray. Now, in our way of thinking, a 99% return is okay, but not this shepherd. Jesus said that he left the 99 to go search for the one lost sheep. Jesus cares about individuals. And that's what leaving the 99 and looking for the one lost one means. Like a good shepherd, Jesus knows us by name. And he cares for us and is willing to give his life for us. And he has done that. Now that he has proven he cares, he wants us to follow. But like sheep, we are easily distracted and we are easily spooked and we are easily lost down every little dead end that looks attractive. Former Bishop Ed Tullis used to tell the story of a census taker who went to see a family way back up in the hills somewhere and asked the mother, how many dependents do you have? And she told the census taker, we got Rosalie, we got Billy, we got Luella, and our dog Willie. The census taker said, no, I just want humans. So she started over again. We got Rosalie, we got Billy, we got Luella. And he was exasperated. He said, I don't need, ma'am, you don't understand. I don't need the names, I just need numbers. And the mother innocently replied, I don't know them by numbers, I only know them by name. In John Drinkwater's historical drama, Abraham Lincoln, a woman says to Lincoln, Mr. President, have you heard the good news in the latest battle? We suffered 800 casualties, but the enemy suffered 2,700. How splendid. And Lincoln, in that work, responds, splendid. Splendid that 3,500 souls are lost. And she said, oh, Mr. President, you mustn't look at it that way. Only 800 of them counted. But Lincoln replied, madam, the world is much bigger than your heart. The text I preached from last week, 1 John, the second chapter, talks about how big God's heart is. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. We have a good shepherd who gave Himself for the sins of the whole world. Now, His love and His heart are bigger than ours. And not all are going to follow Jesus, but Jesus is willing to lead whomsoever will come. It is comforting to know that the Creator of the universe knows us by name, cares for us as a good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep, and they know me. Now, fellow sheep, I ask you, how closely are you following your shepherd? Now I'm going to get personal. I don't remember when this started, but a few weeks ago, Caroline and I started asking each other. Now, you've got to understand, this is not sarcasm. I'm not trying to be funny. We started asking each other seriously and carefully when we use this. Questions like, would Jesus use that tone? Or when something seems selfish or judgmental or hurtful or ill-considered, she would ask me, or I might ask her, would Jesus repeat that story? And of course, when used appropriately and not overdone, those are perfectly good questions. And it helps you find out real fast how well you are following your shepherd. You know, Jesus Himself asked this question in the Gospel of Luke. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I say? Why indeed? It's a fair question. And if Jesus is your shepherd and you have decided to follow because you trust Him, because you believe He has made the eternal God known, then the other voices, these red sweater fashion makers, really should not have influence in your life. Those who want to get from you cannot compete with the God who gave Himself for you in Jesus Christ. This man who lived out the love of God loved you. So follow. And ask yourself from time to time, would Jesus misuse power and position? Would Jesus endlessly argue old fights over and over that should have been forgiven and buried decades ago? Would Jesus, your good shepherd, aim irritability at an innocent bystander? Would Jesus pretend not to see the homeless man? Would Jesus hold tightly to extra dollars when the church remained deeply in debt? Now, if this sounds too personal, I have to ask, isn't the shepherd-sheep relationship supposed to be personal? It almost seems in these days, as an observer of pop culture, like we're living through a time through someone else's red sweater experiment where the popular people are wearing ridicule of faith as their fashion statement and dragging others along with them. But Jesus is not a joke. Jesus is my shepherd, and it is more than a way to win an argument to ask, would Jesus do that? It's not for that. In fact, that's what the early Methodists did in a way in the earliest days. We come from a tradition where faith in those among those who follow the Good Shepherd would be accountable to others in a small group. And we would avoid the dead ends that way and the trends that way and the passing fancies and the others who might pull us away, because we would ask one another, how is it with your soul? What victories have you had? What defeats? When we belong to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we are not available to follow others. We already have a shepherd in a way, in a direction, in a truth, in a life. One who revealed the heart of God, and we can trust Him. And He has no hidden agenda. He has given Himself for us completely, so we can trust Him. Last Friday, just a few days ago, I heard a preacher and author, James Harnish, say, you don't have a life worth living if you don't have a cause worth dying for. That got my attention. Sacrifice must be a part of our faith. And it means that the church itself must lay down its life or be willing to for the unappreciative and the undeserving all around us. The church is not for us. It is for reaching out and pulling in and then strengthening those who are here so that we might reach out and pull in and gather more sheep and pull back the lost from the dead ends that they have fallen into. It's not enough that we simply remain sheep. Jesus is calling us into the role of shepherd as well. Remember when Jesus asked Simon Peter one day, "Peter, do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know that I love you." And he replied, "Then feed my sheep, tend my little lambs, care for my sheep." And so we are called together closer and closer to Jesus, our shepherd, and that brings us closer and closer to each other. There are no solitary Christians. That's not the plan. We are called together, nearer to Jesus and nearer to each other. And sometimes we are sent on search parties to find those of us who have gone astray. Never forget that we are gathered by Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And in here, we are led and protected by Jesus' teachings, and we are protected by holding each other accountable to Jesus' teachings. And here is where God's Holy Spirit meets us, feeds us, and leads us into deeper understanding of what it means to follow. We are called to welcome whomsoever will come, just as God has welcomed us, and to help seek out and find the strays, and to bring them to safety. That's in here. There is also an out there, and it is less and less open to what we teach and what we preach and the way we seek to live. There are a lot of voices calling out to you and many calling you out of here, and they don't mean you well, and they don't have the words of life, and they don't lead you into forgiveness and compassion and grace. Our shepherd goes ahead of us, and he has prepared the way for us. He has gone ahead in life, he has gone ahead in death, and he has gone ahead in life beyond death. And because of his journey ahead of us, no matter what we face, we know the way is safe. His way is safe. He is the way to safety and healing and wholeness. You can trust the Good Shepherd. I want to close with just a few lines from a Charles Wesley hymn. It is a very mystical hymn that is no longer sung. It's called, "Thou Shepherd of Israel." Thou shepherd of Israel and mine, the joy and desire of my heart, for closer communion I pine, I long to reside where thou art, the pasture I languish to find, where all who their shepherd obey are fed on thy bosom reclined and screened from the heat of the day. 'Tis there with the lambs of thy flock, there only I covet to rest, to lie at the foot of the rock, or rise to be hid in thy breast. 'Tis there I would always abide, and never a moment depart, concealed in the cleft of thy side, eternally held in thy heart. Jesus is our good shepherd. Let us trust him. Let us intentionally follow him. Let us build each other up and bring each other back and bring more in to the place where we have found belonging and wholeness in the way and the truth and the life.